Welcome to the Science Update Podcast. I'm Bob Hirshon, and this is the podcast for February 9th, 2007. This week, we're going to follow up on last week's listener question about the appendix with the answer to a related question, and tell you why sitting up straight might not be the best idea. But first, Chelsea Wald has this story telling you why, to put it bluntly, you're not perfect.
Teach a robot to sink a free throw, and it will sink 100 in a row. Teach people, and even after years of practice, they'll still miss a few. Why? Neuroscientist Krishna Shenoy of Stanford University had macaque monkeys repeat a simple motion. He found that every time, their brains had to design the motion from scratch, and they never got it exactly the same. He notes that's very different from robots and computers.
Computers are explicitly designed not to make errors, but the price tag for that is that computers are very inflexible. They can only contend with a very small range of things compared to what even an ant can do.
He says the ability to adjust to many different situations somehow makes perfection in a single skill impossible.
Thanks, Chelsea. If you always sit up straight, you might be in for a lifetime of back problems. This according to Asim Bashir, a musculoskeletal radiologist at the University of Alberta in Canada. He and his colleagues used a new full-body MRI scanner to study various sitting positions.
Sitting up bolt straight 90 degrees with your back straight and your legs parallel to the floor increases the amount of pressure in your lower back, discs, and strain on your muscles and ligaments, and also causes squashing of the discs when you're in that position.
They found that it's much better to recline slightly with your knees well below your hips, creating a wide angle between your thighs and torso. That's hard to do in most office chairs, but Bashir says putting a wedge-shaped cushion under your back and raising the seat can help. Unfortunately, slouching, which is what most of us do, is still not a good idea. Next, scientists are warning that climate change could profoundly damage our civilization. Well, it seems like we wouldn't be the first. Justin Warner has this report.
Around the 9th century AD, two great civilizations on opposite sides of the globe collapsed, the Tang Dynasty of China and the Maya of what's now Central America. Coincidence? Perhaps not, according to paleoclimatologist Gerald Haug of Germany's National Geosciences Research Center in Potsdam. Looking back on 16,000 years of geological records, his team found that the fall of the Tang and Maya cultures coincided with a decades-long trend of increasingly windy winters and dry summers. Haug says the likely meteorological culprit was a shift in a global weather system called the Tropical Rain Belt. As for the historical implications, Haug is cautious not to overstate them.
I don't think that we should view this in a way that those civilizations collapsed just because of climate.
That said, we do know that there were droughts and crop failures during the time of both civilizations' decline. And Haug says it's reasonable to suppose that famines and water shortages, in combination with crises of leadership, may have catalyzed the collapse of these great societies.
But if you think of today's world, if the monsoon system would fail and the rainfall would be reduced for just a few years, it would be still devastating for the people living there.
In fact, he suggests that modern civilization is so complex and interdependent that we may be even more vulnerable to dramatic climate change than the civilizations of the past.
Thanks, Justin. Are you still writing your New Year's resolutions? If so, you could be one of the estimated 15 to 20% of the population who's a procrastinator. University of Calgary professor Piers Steele has published a comprehensive analysis of procrastination in the journal Psychological Bulletin. He says procrastinators have a high level of impulsiveness and distractibility, and the problem may have a large genetic component. To take his procrastination test, visit www.procrastinus.com. And don't put it off. Research published in the journal Cell concerns a rare gene that causes people to go to sleep and arise up to 3 hours earlier than normal. By inserting this gene into mice, scientists have discovered clues into the chemistry of our internal clocks. Their goal is treating sleep disorders and jet lag. Finally, Chelsea's got the answer to another listener's question.
Last week, we answered a question about the appendix, a vestigial organ left over from an earlier time in our evolution. Now, listener Bob Gildon of Alameda, California writes to ask whether we have any other vestigial traits. We turned again to American University biologist Dan Fong.
Other examples of vestigial organs in human beings are the tailbone, for one. We no longer have a tail, but we still have a little bit stubby little bone in the back that indicate that sometime in the past we had a tail. Another good example would be the goosebump reaction that we have for increasing our size when we had hair, or of increasing thermoregulation when we were cold. But we no longer have body hair for that function, but we still try to erect it in the appropriate environment.
He says some also add wisdom teeth to that list. Like the appendix, they were probably more useful when our ancestors ate a plant-based diet. If you have a science question, call us at 1-800-WHY-IS-IT or submit it at scienceupdate.com. If we use it in the podcast, you'll win a Science Update mug.
Thanks, Chelsea. Remember, the free AAAS Family Science Days are imminent. If you're in the San Francisco area, or even if you're not, come to the San Francisco Hilton on February 17th or 18th. Chelsea and I will be there from 11 to noon on both days, collecting your science questions and passing out free Science Update mugs to podcast listeners. To get a free mug, you must take one of us aside and say the password, "Why is it?" And as if that's not enough, you'll also get to meet the hosts of the popular television show MythBusters. You can learn more about Family Science Days and the AAAS annual meeting at AAAS.org. We hope to see you there. Also, starting this week, we've begun releasing a new daily podcast feed. Instead of getting all five stories together in one 6 or 7 minute show, as you do with this podcast, you'll be able to get a new 1 minute story every weekday. If you want to subscribe to that feed, you'll be getting the same stories that are in this show, but just in a different format. Check out scienceupdate.com for more information. Well, that's all for this week. Next time, we'll talk about how humans caused the biggest earthquake in Australia's history and answer a listener's question about where insects go in winter. In the meantime, visit us at www.scienceupdate.com. Thanks for listening. I'm Bob Hirshon for AAAS, the Science Society.